Okay, well, let's pray before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time that we can study your word and we can get to know how we can live our life well for you. We pray, dear Lord, that you will be with us in a very special way, grant us wisdom, and we pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and open our eyes as we study your word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the things that we try to do is that we will study the scriptures, we'll study the Bible, and as we study the Bible, we will learn very important lessons about life and how to live our lives. And we believe that the Bible is God's word, that it is something that God has caused men to write through the many, many centuries, and now we have a book that comprises of 66 books. And one section of the Bible is called, the genre is called wisdom literature. Okay? And when we study this wisdom literature, there are many words of wisdom, principles of life, and about how we can relate to God better, how we can live our lives wisely. And there was a very wise man by the name of King Solomon. And do you know King David, Timothy? David and Goliath? You have a story? Yeah, David and Goliath. So David had a son by the name of Solomon. Now, he's considered one of the most wisest men that ever lived. So he wrote a book called Ecclesiastes. Yeah, and so we're going to study from this book. And we've been studying it. And so we come to chapter 10. Okay, so in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, we've done 9 chapters already, and we are moving on to chapter 10. And when we come to chapter 10, 11, then 12 will end. 10, 11 are a lot of what we call words of wisdom, and how we can practically apply wisdom to our life. And so we come to the first part, verse 1 to verse 4. And there are 4 things that we can learn today. Okay? Okay, so the first one is about perfumes. So in verse 1, it says, "Date flies putrefy the perfumer's ointment, and it causes it to give off a foul odor. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honor." Okay, any of y'all use perfumes? Yes, no? I think most of us don't ordinarily, but on special occasions, on special days, maybe the ladies will use. I think men nowadays don't use, right? Joseph, do you use? Do use, huh? Okay, I don't smell any different. I can't smell anyway that well, right? Okay, so guys use. I don't use, I don't use. So sometimes people will give, and then I'll give it to someone else because I don't normally use it. But girls, they all use it. So there are different. And a perfume, during the times of Solomon, takes a long time to make. It takes sometimes weeks, even month, depending on the perfume. And they will make it into an ointment. And then they will mix, different things like eucalyptus and so on and so forth. And then you come up with a very nice perfume. And sometimes they will leave it to dry. Sometimes it takes time for it for the mixture to come together. And sometimes they will leave it to dry, the fly will come. So this perfume, okay, you can imagine as being a perfumer. So nowadays, I think on YouTube, you also can learn how to be a perfumer, okay, with all the necessary, I think YouTube now, you can be anything, right? Doctor, you can also be a doctor. if you search long enough, you can be a quack doctor, So you can learn how to be a perfumer. And so it takes a long time to come up with a perfume. And then as the guy is waiting or he's not looking, when he puts the perfume out to dry, this fly will come and then sits on it. And it dies in it. And sometimes when it dies, it will sink into the ointment. So you can't see it, you see? But then as the mixture dries up, the foul odor will come. Instead of a very nice perfume smell, a foul odor will come. Okay? And what happens is that it destroys all the weeks of hard work, it can be very costly, right? And then the whole thing is destroyed. Okay? So what is the point here? The point is that sometimes a little folly, a little silly mistake, a mistake or something that you do foolishly. Now, you can be a person with reputation. You can be a person who have taken years to earn a particular reputation. You are considered wise. You are respected. You are honored. All it takes is a moment of folly. And that whole many years of living your life well, you have a good reputation, goes down the drain. Right? And this is something that we all want to learn, that sometimes all it takes is one mistake, one silly mistake, one... And so what is he trying to teach here? What he's trying to teach here is that sometimes details are very important. Especially for those of you all, you know, as you start work, as you learn the ropes of things, details are very important. Because if you miss a detail, you forgo the detail, that's it. The whole thing can just go all out of whack. Okay? For example, there was this programmer in 1962. NASA had a rocket... they had this rocket that was going to be launched, and one of the programmers, the computer programmer, forgot to put in a dash. So all the programming, and as he did all the programming, he forgot to put in a dash. And because he forgot to put in the dash, the trajectory of the rocket went off. One little dash. So the trajectory went off. The moment the rocket, the trajectory went off, once it goes off, it will self-destruct. So millions of dollars in 1962, the whole rocket exploded and millions of dollars just go down the drain. Why? Because of a simple dash. Can you see that? So one silly mistake, one foolish mistake, you can end up with, you know, horrible consequences. You can end up with disastrous consequences. And so this is what he's trying to say. One small thing done in foolishness, one small mistake, the whole thing can be ruined. One whole jar. And one whole jar is very expensive. For a perfumer, one whole jar, it takes, you know, weeks, even months to prepare it, and it's expensive. It can cost a lot. And then just all it takes is one fly. One fly who cannot recognize between food and perfume. And then it lands on the perfume, and then that's it. And so one of the things that we want to learn, okay, the first lesson is, we all have to learn to be people of details. Okay, details is important. Wherever you work, wherever you are, details is important. Right? Olivia, being a doctor, details is very important. All right or not? Everything has to be in detail. Because once you miss the detail, what can happen? Yeah, malpractice. Yeah, and I'm sure doctors have... You know, recently the newspaper you come out with, you see people, doctors being reprimanded and so on and so forth. Why? Because they didn't look into details. All right? Chloe in the food business industry, you know, detail is very important. Right? How you check, how you look, and I'm sure people have missed things before. And what happens to them? Huh? Yes. Why? And you see, details. Detail is so important, right? And I think that's something that we want to learn. When I was in the Air Force, details are so important. You got to check every single thing before you fly. Every part of the aircraft, you got to make sure that everything is working properly. Because if you don't do your pre-flight checks, you don't look into details, you miss something, that's it. Something can happen to you. Right? So there's, on our part, yes, we learn to trust God for everything. We put our trust in God. But at the same time, practically, we all have to do our part to be responsible. So detail is very important, right? You miss one, you know what? You can end up, your reputation is on the line. Your reputation as a person, as a doctor, as a professional, that's key, okay? That's something for us to consider. Now, okay, the next part in verse 2, it says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, so these are all proverbial sayings, right? So as we come to this part, it's all proverbial sayings. So we all have to interpret it. What does this mean? A man's heart is in his right hand, and then, but a fool's heart, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, a fool's heart is at his left. Okay, what does that mean? Over to y'all. Okay, so first lesson, we got to look into details. Because this, there are consequences. And it will affect your reputation, your character as a person. Right? One small detail, consequences, affects you as a person. This is very important, okay? Especially in a working world. Detail every day. That's why when you are really, really tired, don't look at details if you have to. But sometimes we can't. Okay? So, for example, when I was in the Air Force, this was an accident that happened years ago. And this person was a Christian, very, very good Christian leader in the church. But because it was in Taiwan and they were flying night vision goggles, in other words, they were flying with goggles, night vision, NVG they call it, so they can see in the night without lights. And it's very, very strenuous. 1 hour of flying in night vision goggles is equivalent to 2.4 hours of normal flying. So it's double the effort that's needed. And so he was flying at night, and he was flying about 2 a.m. in the morning. And he was a major. He was someone who was very established, very respected. But because no one else could fly the flight, and they needed to fly at 3 a.m. in the morning. They were flying with 2 aircrafts, and they were going to land in a valley, okay? And then there was a mountain here, so they had to land in the valley. And so only he was able to do the mission, okay? But the problem was that because he was the commanding officer, he was pressured to make sure that the mission was carried out. You follow? In reality, if you really are wise, if you think through it, they should not have flown. But he went ahead. Okay? So that was his mistake. So he went to fly, he landed the aircraft, and because he was tired, he didn't look at details. And one of the details that he missed out was that here was a mountain, but before the mountain, there was a knoll. And because when you fly night vision goggles, you can't see, everything is in 2D. Everything is 2D. So you don't see depth perception. So when he was here, when he looked, it looked as if it's just one mountain. He didn't see this. So they flew and they crashed into this gnaw, and everybody on board died. Yeah. You see, details. Details is so important. If you don't look at details, you can end up with these disastrous results. Okay, so that's the first thing, details. Secondly, here we talk about the heart. Right? A man's heart is at his right hand, a fool's heart at his left. Now, what does that mean? What do you think that means? A man's heart is at his right hand, and the fool's heart is at his left. Interesting. I didn't explain it to you, didn't give you any... what do you think it means? Anybody want to try? A man's heart is at his right hand, a fool's heart is at his left. Does it mean he take out his heart and put it at his right hand? What do you think it means? Let's try. No, there's no minusing mark for attempted answers. A man's heart is at his right hand, a fool's heart is at his left hand. All of you are right-handed? Anybody left-handed? Wow, quite a few left-handed. Okay, so what does it mean? Are you all a fool? Because you're... Is that what it means? So you're left-handed. So, interesting. So, come on here. Left-handed. Okay. So what does it mean? Want to try? Beh? Since you're left-handed. Huh? It has nothing to do with whether you're left-handed or right-handed.
Can you give us a clue?
Give you a clue. Okay. So right-handed and left-handed, how does the Bible define right-handed and left-handed? How does the Bible define it? Okay, sometimes they, like for example, Isaiah 41:10 says that, you know, how he will uphold you with his righteous. Okay, what does that right hand mean? Why not left hand? Why right hand? Huh? Yeah, try our... That's right. No lah. A little folly. Yeah, what does it mean? Okay, try. Why right hand? So it's not about whether one is left-handed or right-handed, right? The issue is not whether one is right-handed. But generally, what does the right hand mean? Right hand represents? Sorry? Leading? More than that, right hand. When you want to punch someone, what do you use? Left hand. Middle punch. No. Okay, all those right-handed. Are you right-handed? Okay. You want to punch someone, who do you use? Left hand. Precisely. Okay. Dominant hand. Right? So the right hand is the dominant hand. The right hand is always the hand of power. So when God says that he will uphold us with his righteous right hand, it means that he will hold us with the hand of power. Right? So when he talks about this idea, his heart is in his right hand. What does that mean? Okay, I give you the clue already. His heart is in his right hand. Heart. Okay, now we talk about the heart. The heart represents what? What do you think, Sarah? Okay, feelings. Okay, feelings. What else? Heart represents? Come on, let's try. Heart represents... Partly. The heart also connected to the mind. What else? Okay, let's just say last night I went out for dinner and then some of the people was eating durian. My question was, should I eat it or not? Huh? Sorry? Desire. Okay, desire. What else? Still talking about a durian. Should I eat it or shouldn't I eat? No brain. Should I eat or should I eat? For me. Okay. Yeah, so I chose not to eat. Why? I love durian. I chose not to eat. If not, today I will. Smell like durian. Okay, smell like durian. I'll get a sore throat, right? I mean, do you all get sore throat after you eat durian? You don't eat durian, okay. But... So when he says the heart is in the right hand, what he means, the hand is always the hand of power, right? The heart, so when your heart is in the right hand, it means that the right hand, the hand of power is controlling the heart. There's self-control. Do you understand? There's self-control. There is strength. So it's like you put your heart into your effort. So the hand is always your effort, right? You carry things, you do things. When you put your heart to your right hand, your heart is in the right place. Your heart seeks to do that which is right. Your hands will do that which is right. You put your heart and soul into what you are doing. You do that which is right. On the other hand, if your heart is in the left hand. In other words, your left hand is always the weaker hand. Okay? And so your heart, when you use your weaker hand, in other words, you're not putting in full effort. You're not putting in all the effort. You're doing the wrong thing. It does whatever his heart wants to do. So the heart now controls whatever you do. The heart wants to do whatever he will do. You want to sin, you sin. There's no control. You follow? Because it is a weaker hand. He ends up doing foolish things. That's why he is called the fool. But when your heart is in your right hand, he will do that which is wise. He will do that which is right. He will do that with strength. He will put his whole effort into it. And then the blessings of the Lord will be there. Can you see not? Right? And so here is... So on one hand... We look at details. We look at a person's reputation. There are consequences, right? There's a person's reputation. Now we look at a person's heart and hands. Can you see? Where your heart... So if a person is wise, so there's choice. If a person is wise, he will choose that. You put a heart in the right hand. You do that which is right. But the person is foolish, then his heart he will put in, you know, he will do that, he put in the left hand. And then he will do that which is wrong and foolish. Can you see? Okay, let's stop for a while. Do you understand where I'm going with this? Yeah, go ahead.
So to clarify, is it like to do with self-control or to do with effort? Or like
both. Right? Because the heart, from the heart comes self-control also, isn't it? The heart chooses. Correct? If the heart is right, he will choose that which is right. He will choose that which is wise. So I chose not to eat the durian. Everybody else was eating durian. Wow. Right? I think they bought $180 worth of durians. That's a lot of durians. Right? But I was sitting there and I shall not eat. That's fine. Why? Because I know that today I'll suffer to last night and today I will probably have a sore throat. So I choose, one, to have self-control. My heart is in my right hand. I control. Two, I put in the effort. I put in the effort to do what I need to do. I'll do the right thing. Whereas on the left hand, which is not the dominant hand, which is the weaker hand, you put your heart in the left hand, the heart, in the end, the heart does whatever he wants. He will dust foolishly, he will do whatever he wants. He'll end up doing that which is wrong. Does that follow? Or does that not follow? Yeah.
Like right hand represents, because when we see in Isaiah 41 verse 10 talking about like God's righteous right hand, right?
So in other words, he will hold you. Okay. Right? You will hold. So God's righteous right hand will hold you. He will lift you up. Correct? That's his effort. So the hand represents effort. The hand is also one, you put your heart there, you will control. Correct? At the end of the day, if the heart is in the right place, if the heart wants to do that which is right, you will do that which is right with the right hand. You understand? You will put in as much effort into what he can do. The right hand represents effort, it represents that which is right. Okay? On the other hand, which also represents that which is wise. But on the other hand, the left hand, which is not the dominant hand, the weaker hand, you know, in other words, when a person does something with his left hand, it's always, okay, I take it easy, right? I'm not going to put in all the effort. I'm going to put all my strength into it. I'm just going to take it easy. I'll do whatever I want. And so the heart is not in the right hand. It's in the left hand. Okay. Do you follow? If it's the wise thing to do, would you not do it? Even if you have to force yourself. Okay. If it's a foolish thing, it's a wrong thing to do, you still want to do it. No. So it's always okay, so the thing is, it's always easier to do that which is wrong. It takes less effort to do that which is wrong. Do you follow? It's always easier to sin. It's always easier, to do that which is wrong in the sight of God.
I mean, like durian, like if yesterday I didn't eat, but like after this, like after...
So okay, like tomorrow, okay, say for example, tomorrow, dinner, there's durian, I will eat a durian.
I will eat more than like what you expect.
No, what's your point?
No, like, I mean, like, sometimes when you, maybe today I did the right thing, but like when I come to another
situation,
thing, yeah,
I like, do the wrong thing.
Yeah, so is there any way you can prevent constantly, that. Like, to...
Yeah, come for camp. Oh, okay. Where we learn perfecting holiness. How to do the right thing at all times. Camp. Okay. Are you coming, camp?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Because I can tell you, it's not an easy thing to do the right thing at all times. And this camp is going to be a time where we will realize that it's not easy also. But why is there such a concept called perfecting holiness? come for camp.
Okay.
And you'll find out. It's not easy. It's not easy to do the right thing at all. That's why we're studying the scriptures. That's why we study the book of Ecclesiastes. Because when you study about him, you realize that actually he has done many, many mistakes. And he's supposed to be the wisest man. And yet, being wise is not everything. So it doesn't mean that you understand a lot of scripture, you understand a lot of wise things, that you will do that which is wise. Having lots of theory is one thing. Practically doing it is another thing. That, to me, is true wisdom when you actually do it. That is when true wisdom is. That's why, you know, like for example, this thing. So where is your heart, is it? It begins with the heart. Where is your heart? If your heart is in the right place, then it will be placed in the right hand. If it's your heart is in the wrong place, your heart is evil, your heart is wicked, your heart is sinful, it will be placed in the left hand. Right? I don't want to come to church. I don't want to put in effort. I don't want to read the scriptures. I prefer to binge on Netflix. Right? Not that Netflix is wrong, but to binge hours, 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 just doing that, to me, is a real waste of time. It's easier to do that than to take the Bible and read 5 chapters. And so the challenge, there's always this idea of wisdom and foolishness. Right, wrong. Truth, false. Strength, weakness. Sinfulness, righteousness. It's always this, you know, contrary that is within our spirit and our thoughts and our faith. There's always this struggle. The Holy Spirit and our flesh. And how do you win all the time? That's where you need faith. That's where you need to grow. That's where you need to grow in your understanding of the Word of God. That's where you need to find maturity. Right? This morning we were studying at our special needs program with the parents. And it so happened that today we were studying from 1 Peter about the whole idea of how wives must submit to the husband. Okay? And today was Valentine's Day, so happened. Right? And then we broached this subject. And then, on the other hand, the husband must dwell with the wife with understanding. Giving them honor as to the weaker, you know, what's the word he used? Weaker vessel. And so on. Oh, Lord, after that, oh, a lot of questions. Oh, and at the end of the day, there's always this struggle to be right or to submit. The problem with a lot of couples, they end up crawling with each other is because of the right to be right. I want to be right. Pride. I don't want to give in. So one of them said, oh, I live on this motto, happy wife, happy life. I told the person that's not the best motto because sometimes you cannot let the wife just be happy all the time. The wife wants to be happy, or I want to buy this, I want to buy that. Right? Submit. No. So there was this guy, he prayed and asked for a wife that would submit. Okay? And he got a wife that would submit. Because the wife submit receipts, submit invoice, submit complaining complaints, submit maintenance requests, submit, wow, always submit. Then after that, at the end of it, he say, yeah, next time I pray, I got to be more specific when I pray. Just a joke, okay? It's not a real thing. Unless you think it's a real thing. Okay, so that's always the challenge. The challenge between right and wrong, foolishness, truth, wisdom. And it's always a struggle. And that is something that we struggle. But as we learn to grow in our faith, as we grow in our understanding of life, as we learn to submit to the Lord in obedience, as we learn about holiness, actually, holiness is a part, is something that we should practice so much more than we all realize. So at this camp, you will learn that. Holiness is like something that, wow, it's too great, too lofty a concept for me to understand. But I tell you, you understand it for what it is. That's why you got to come for this camp. Actually, holiness is actually a part or parcel of living. Okay, I'll save it for the camp. Really? Right? And so that's why the challenge is for us to be wise, to choose. And it's your willpower, you see, at the end of the day, it's actually your struggle between your willpower and sin and the flesh. How do you say no? How do you say no to sin? How do you say no? So how did I say no to durian? I was tempted. And the durian looks good. They have this thing called black thorn. Have you ever tried a black thorn durian? You seen black thorn? The durian, the thorns are all black. I'm just kidding. Yeah, it's just called black thorn. I don't know why. It was very interesting. One Chinese New Year, we all went to buy durian. And then the guy said, okay, just choose anyone you want. You pay, don't know what, $10. So we chose. Wow, this one looks interesting, this one. So I chose one. Okay? The guy took it and he opened. You can see the regret on his face. You can see the regret on his face because I think he made a mistake. Because that durian is a black thorn durian among all the common durian. Then he opened it. You see his face, huh? Oh, I say, why? He said, oh, you're very lucky. And it was really good, right? The Lord's blessing. But you see, choice is so important. Okay, now we've gone to the next part. Oh, it's very even more interesting. He says, even when a fool, verse 3, even when a fool walks along the way, he lacks wisdom, and he shows everyone that he's a fool. Now, okay, so reputation, heart, hand. Now we talk about, right, walking, legs. See how practical it is? Right? Your life, your hands, your heart, your legs, where you walk. Even if you are foolish, even when you walk, people can know that you are foolish. How come? How do you know that a person is foolish when he walks? How do you know a person is foolish when he walks? Okay, you fall down. That's one thing. What else? What can happen as you walk? You fall down. You get lost. What else? You get hit, yeah? You get hit. Right. Along the way, you can leave a trail of foolishness. People can see you are foolish, even when you walk. See how practical wisdom is. Wisdom affects everything, even when you walk. Even when you walk along the road. Right? You walk along the road, and here comes a bus, and you don't look at it, well, you get banged by the car, by the bus. Wisdom. Wisdom affects everything, including walking. Okay? And then it goes on to the last part, where it talks about if the spirit of a ruler, okay? Now we talk about the spirit, the soul. You see, wisdom affects every part of you. Can you see not? This few, it affects every part of you. Your hands, your legs, your spirit, your heart, your reputation, everything. So here he says, if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post. Okay? For conciliation pacifies great offenses. So there are times, what do you think this means? Okay, maybe I've given you the answer already. Right? So there are times when a ruler may rise against an official. Okay? So this official may have done great offenses. He may have done something wrong. So he's angry with him because he may have offended him, and perhaps there were those who have schemed against this official, so his spirit rise against him. So what is the challenge? The challenge is not to run away from one's post, to stay with the post, learns not to overreact. Okay? So here is, don't overreact. So of course, the spirit of the ruler, but for us, don't overreact. Overreaction is run! Zao! You know, run for your life. Here is the angry ruler who's coming after you. Leave your post, run for your life. No, don't overreact. So sometimes at a working place, don't overreact. The tendency for us is when someone scolds you, someone's angry with you, someone is upset with you, the tendency for us to overreact. Don't. Okay? Don't overreact. Learn how to pacify the person. Now, it doesn't mean that we have to pacify all the time. Okay? Here in this situation, he is taking a spirit to reconcile, to be conciliatory, to placate rather than to retaliate. We do this thing. It doesn't mean that we have to always pacify him. No, we don't need to. But there are times when we need to, if you have done that which is wrong. So it depends on the situation. Now, the G8, the European Union and all, the leaders, trying to retaliate, and then as they retaliate, they also find it very hard. Actually, one person that knows how to deal with is Angela Merkel. She used to be called the Queen of Europe. Why? She was able to bring Europe all together because she had the wisdom to do so. You know, I read a book about her, and I am so impressed with her. She is one very, very solid leader. And she used to be from the East Bloc, German East Bloc. Okay? And along the way, she rose the ranks, and she's a Christian. And, you know, on Saturdays, once the weekend comes, Saturday, until Sunday, 4 o'clock, she goes to her countryside home. She doesn't deal with work. No one is supposed to disturb her until 4 p.m. on Sunday. The rest of her time is for family. Even her bodyguard, they have to be 200 meters away. Cannot be near them. Okay? Very hard. Half the time, the bodyguard will go, look, hey, where's Angela? Right? But she will focus on family and on worshipping the Lord on Sunday. Sunday, 4 o'clock, then she will start work. But you know why she can do that? Because she is a very fast reader. She reads and remember all the papers. She will read it. Most of the leaders, they won't read. But because she reads everything, she knows everything, she's able to lead everybody else who don't read. And she does it with a lot of wisdom. Wow. And she is very, very wise. See? So when you have wisdom, when your wisdom is in the right hand, you can do that which is right. You can lead others. Okay? And of course, she has stood out as a great leader. Ken, okay, do you have any questions you want to ask concerning this? Sorry? why do you call a person a fool?
Yeah, so like, if you don't know the wisdom of the fool.
Okay, so how do we define, isn't, so the word fool is used in its objective way. We don't use it in a subjective way. It's not like, I feel like you're a fool, I call you, you fool. No, so the word fool is done in an objective way. That means this guy is really a fool. This guy is really, for want of a better word, you know, he's a bit, he's not smart. Or he's you know, this guy is S-T-U-P-I-D, right? This guy is foolish. This guy is, you know, whatever else people may call him. But generally, it's an objective foolishness.
No, it's like, for example, like the case of walking, right?
Yeah.
Like this person keep hitting on things.
Yeah.
But he could be looking for things. That's why he's hitting on things. So without context.
Yeah. So we have to determine what is the context, lah. Right? I mean, there you can come up with a thousand different scenarios where a person can just hit something. Right? He could be, you know, half blind or whatever. So there are values. That's why I use the word objective fool. It has to be an objective thing. It's not a subjective thing. It is not because I see you and I call you a fool. Right? But because this guy is really a fool, he's very foolish, he's doing things wrong, he can be wiser, but he chose to be foolish. That's my point. So the Bible, every time when we look at the word fool, there's a certain background to it, right? And of course, there's the benefit for everybody. We've been studying 9 chapters, really. This is chapter 10. And so there are many, many points where this idea of a fool is raised up. But it's done objectively rather than subjectively. Okay? Ken? And I think that's important. I think the idea of being wise and foolish is something to us that we really got to come up with. Like, for example, today there are so many scammers. Right? And if you are foolish, you get scammed. Yesterday's newspaper. Japan, I think it was $2.5 billion lost because of scammers. People being scammed. $2.5 billion or something like that. Yesterday's newspaper. Right? I think that's very important for us to be able to see it practically. Right? And practical means every part of your life. Every aspect of your life. Your reputation depends on it. You can spend years building a reputation, but then you do your, you know, something foolish. Right? You do something foolish, and then your hard-earned reputation, your life that you have sought to, you know, respected for wisdom and honor. You've taken years to earn, to find that wisdom, taken years to find that honor, and then you do one silly thing, and then it's gone. And one of the things that passed to me years ago, and I think it's something that I really understand now, is never look for the limelight. Because the more you try to be in the limelight, if you fail, you fall flat on your face. The harder the fall. And, you know, in recent years, we have, you know, people in parliament having problems, right? And they've fallen flat on their face. Why? Because one foolish mistake, one folly, your reputation down the drain. So basically, it's very important for us to look at how wisdom can be applied practically in our life. With reference to how we live, with reference to our reputation, with reference to your honor as a person, your honor as a lady, your honor as man, everything. How you live. You're going to take years to build your reputation. And one day, like okay, Olivia, for you, your reputation as a doctor. It will take years to develop it. And you know, one moment of folly, that can happen. the challenge. So, of course, at the end of the day, we all have to be persons of details. We've got to look into all the details. Right, so this week has been a rather challenging week. There were a number of meals to have. So thank you, Gabby, for opening up your home. It was a very nice meal. And then I had to do a lot of work because this week is Chinese New Year, and then camp's coming up, and I had to finish lots of work this week. And it was like, wow, just rushing through, just trying to do a lot of things during the week. And you know, I had to look into many details. You cannot just take shortcuts. You need to spend the time. So the challenge was, how do I do 7-8 things in the day? How do I do, okay, this one's settled, okay, tomorrow is back to it. How do I keep track of everything and make sure that everything is done well? It's easy to take shortcuts. It's easy to, okay, skip here, skip there. It's easy to just, okay, let me copy from somewhere. Oh, use AI. You know, nowadays you can come up with a message. You just type in the passage and then zoom. The fellow will give you a message. Right? That's the shortcut. But did I choose to do that? No. I chose not to. Right? My heart is in my right hand. I choose to put in the effort. I choose to do the right thing. I put in the left hand. Okay, just everything you AI. Right? Someone predicted the CEO of, was it Google or Microsoft, or in 18 months time, he said that most things will be taken over by AI. Jobs. A lot of blue-collar jobs will be taken over by AI. I don't know whether that is true. I think the human element will never be replaced. That is so important. But AI is going to rule the world one day. It's going to take over. And you know, for us, how should we look at all these things? We have to need wisdom. How to navigate a world where everything is on the internet, everything is going to be done with AI. Everybody's pushing for it. Now they talk about robots. Tesla is coming out with robots. Robots can do almost anything. They can dance, they can run, they can do all the manual work. Someone was saying, hey, do you think pastors will be replaced by AI, by robots? Well, we pray not to. One thing that AI don't have is we can pray to God. Right? To us, the human element is irreplaceable, no matter what. But I don't take shortcuts. I will still work hard. I will put my hand to the plow. I will put all my effort into it. Why? Because I want to do it. See, one thing that AI cannot produce is that. That's the difference. AI can come up with a message. AI can come up with an outline. But it cannot have that. Because the internet doesn't produce that. Every message that we all come up with from the scripture is always something new that the internet have not heard before. So I think my job is assured. I don't have to worry about it. Yeah. So I was wise years ago to become a pastor. I used to be a pilot in the Air Force. I used to fly helicopters. If today I carry on with that, I'll be out of job already. Once I reach 50. Once you reach 50 as a pilot, goodbye. They'll kick you out of the Air Force already. But thank God, I'm 58. I'm going to be 59. I still have a job. Right, and I think it's so important for us to understand, you know, it's so important to go into details, it's important to put in the effort, and it's very practical, even the matter of walking. Be wise, right, even the matter of walking, so some people prefer to take shortcut. Instead of walking, using the, you know, the overhead bridge, they go and jump over the fence. And then kena langgar by a car, right? It's such a foolish thing. Why? Because they don't want to put in the effort. Has it happened? Yeah, it has happened. You know, and I think it's so important for us to understand. And then, of course, finally, the whole idea of the spirit of a person, right? And how should I respond to sometimes the things that people do and sometimes things are done against us. How do you respond? Do you retaliate? Do you allow yourself to retaliate with anger? Or you just run away from it? You see, so when people run away from the post, these are the people who are scared, they are fearful, there is no stillness of heart, and they're just reactive. And it's very easy for us to be reactive. No, don't react. Don't overreact. Don't react, don't overreact. The best is always to respond with wisdom, with stillness of heart. Right? Learn how to be still. If there's one thing that you all want to learn, is stillness. You know, there's a book called by this guy who is a, you know, he likes to write on philosophy, but he's a secular writer. But he has an interesting book called Stillness is the Key. And his stillness is not the biblical kind of stillness, but he's using examples from the Bible, he's using examples from, you know, from religious books, Confucianism, everything else, from different sources. And he says one of the most important things to have as a human being is stillness. Wow, so I bought a book to read. What does he fellow mean by stillness? Of course, it's a secular way of looking at it. But even the world recognizes how stillness is so important. And I tell you, sometimes as a young adult, we don't have that stillness. Why? Because we are rushing. We are rushing from one thing to another. We don't have the time to find that stillness. And that was something that I sought for years ago. How do you not overreact? How do you respond with wisdom? Stillness. Okay, with wisdom comes stillness, quietness of soul. Okay, you turn with me to 1 Peter. And this was what I taught 1 Peter. Chapter 3 and in verse 4. Okay, verse 3 says, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on fine apparel. Right? So this is all the outward beauty. You know, Chinese New Year, everybody would do everything they can to look beautiful. Right? So when they go to people's house, you know, at least they look their best. Nothing wrong with that. Okay? But this is considered what we call corruptible beauty. In other words, it's not going to last. Even my operation thing, this ptosis thing, repair, they say that it can last maybe 7-8 years, and sometimes it will reoccur. That means it's not something that is permanent. So it can still come back. But then he goes on to say, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And I can tell you, a lot of ladies don't have this spirit. A gentle and quiet spirit. So gentle means humble. Quiet means still. Quiet doesn't mean, oh, I keep quiet all the time. Let the man just talk. No, it means you are still. It means you are still firm and strong, but what comes through is you have a sense of stillness, a quietness of your soul. That's so important. Okay, you better go. Okay? And that, to me, is a very important thing. Ken? They have to go upstairs for another session. Okay? Okay, any questions you want to ask? Yeah. Where's the mic?
Pastor Mitch, what if we find ourselves in like the situation of making a mistake and then like ruining many years of reputation?
Of what?
Of like reputation, for example. Like what should we do if we are in that situation?
Well, I think the first thing you should do is that you should always, if you've done something is wrong, and then, you know, the reputation goes down the drain, the best thing to do is get right with God first. Right? To me, the best thing to do is settle this with God first. Don't settle anything with men first. Get right with God. Get right with Him first. Find your way back. Very often when we all do these kind of things, very often we are not walking right with God. So to me, the best thing to do is get right with God first. And as you get right with God, then slowly find your way back. A reputation can be lost, but a reputation can be found again. A reputation can be developed further. Right? It may not be perfect once again, but you can earn it back again. You can develop it again. It may take years for it. It may take years for someone to trust you again, but it can be done. So you need the patience, the humility, the stillness to stay the course, to ride the storm, right? And then hopefully things will work out. Of course, once that reputation is gone, sometimes people will never trust you again. But it doesn't matter. You can still work at it. You can start again and then develop your life. There's always a second chance. To me, God is a God of second chances. Right? Same thing with Peter. He failed. Right? All of a sudden, he denied the Lord. And he's known for that. So no matter what, he will always be known for that. But you know what? The Lord Jesus gave him a second chance. Right? Do you love me? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. And he was given a second chance. So the God that we know is a God of mercy, a God of second chances. And you can work at it again. Right? Thank God for that. A God of second chances. Okay? Okay, anything else you want to ask? Yeah, one last question.
Testing. Pastor Mitch, I wanted to refer back to the lines where we talk about even when a fool walks along the way.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were to objectively speaking of the fool, meaning they may, like saying that they're not very smart people, so to say, how do they know the way? Because,
well, it's not a way as in the right way.
Okay.
The way is just I'm walking along the road.
So it's just merely...
It's just an ordinary walking along the road.
Painting the...
Yeah, he's just painting a picture of someone walking along the road.
I see. So it's not like...
In other words, he's painting an everyday life thing.
Okay.
Right? Okay. Which I've been emphasizing during this lesson, that wisdom can be applied in everyday thing, including walking along the road.
Okay.
But if you are a fool, everybody will know that you are a fool. Okay, like for example, a newspaper came out, there was this lady who... got so angry with a neighbor, took a mattress, put it in front of the flat, and burned it. And started a fire in front of the flat. I think maybe you have read the newspaper account. What a foolish thing to do. And so, wow, she wanted to kill the guy, and the guy was screaming, and the police came. She was arrested. She did it before, did something else before, and then she was rearrested, and then now in reprimand. To me, it's such a foolish thing.
I see, because I think maybe I explain myself why I asked it the way. It's because like previously we touched on to the topic of staying on course, like following the path. So I was just thinking like the way here, is it something?
No. So the way here is more with reference to everyday life walking.
Okay, yeah.
You follow?
I get you. Yes.
So it's slightly different from the way we are talking in terms of living our life for the Lord.
Yep, it's
different from that.
Yep, then that clarifies. Because I was like, ooh, the fool seems not very much foolish because he still know the way.
No, different.
Okay, cool, yeah.
So the context is very important, how we study it.
Sorry, last one. Yeah. So, going back to verse 4, yeah. So I understand if the spirit of the ruler rises against you, do not leave your post in the context of stillness, but now I don't really see how for conciliation pacifies great offences. Because, like, when I think about great offences, then I feel that these things should not be, like, pacified, you know?
No, yeah. So great offences is done by perhaps the official, the person that the king may be angry with.
Oh, okay.
He has done the great offences. You understand? So he's pacifying.
So it's not the ruler himself that has...
Sorry?
It's not the ruler himself that has conducted the great offence.
Yeah, so what you say, conciliation pacifies great offences. Yeah, lah. So he's arguing, he's pleading on his problem, right? He pacifies. So conciliating, he is trying to talk to the ruler. The ruler is angry with his great offences. So he's trying to pacify the great offences with reference to what he has done. That's how I read it.
So it's not the ruler who has offended.
No.
I see. Okay.
Right? It's not the ruler who has done the great offences. Okay? Okay, we really need to end. Okay, good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you once again that we can have this time to study your word and to see how wisdom can be practically applied in our life. And I just want to pray for each one of us that we will learn to apply wisdom in our life, in daily life, in all that we do. We pray, dear Lord, that you will guide us, help us to look into details of life, and may we never allow little folly to affect greatly our reputation, the honor and the wisdom that you've given to us. We pray that you will lead us in all things and bless us as we give this offering to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.